The internet at WDEO.net.
Of how to overcome the daily challenges that keep us from living a life of meaning and purpose. Each week, innovative healthcare leader Mike Vasquez explores the science and solutions to finding true satisfaction in life. He'll discuss how modern thinking confirms what the Catholic Church has been saying for 2,000 years. We all have a natural desire for happiness and satisfaction in pursuit of being the person we want to be. Now, here's your host, Mike Vasquez.
Good afternoon. I'm Mike Vasquez, and you're listening to Renewing Hope on Ave Maria Radio. Happy and Holy Easter week. And today we wanted to really get on a topic that it will really take us down a path, I think, that is something that's in the news every day, but yet something we really don't realize that it could and it does impact us. And that's really recently a headline that was in the Huffington Post. As we talk about violence in America, is it drugs or is it guns? Really, what causes that? And what is the issue? There's an entire debate going on in America about gun violence, gun control. But yet something that's missed a lot of times is the fact that there's an underlying debate that started to evolve that is it drugs? Not illicit drugs, but we're talking about prescription medications for psychiatric effects. And then let's take it a little deeper today and really talk about the fact that is it really all of that? What's the impact and how does it impact us in our daily lives? Because obviously as we read a headline, we don't think about Sandy Hook because that's not nearest possibly to our listeners in Naples or our listeners in Michigan or our listeners in Iowa, but unless you know somebody there. And even as recently as the Fort Hood shootings in the past few weeks, we've seen a history of mass murders and gun violence, but no real understanding about that. And it's amazing as you look at the statistics. There's been 31 acts of violence in schools over the years, of which all 31 violent acts, the perpetrators were on or withdrawing from psychiatric medications. So we're talking about something that, what is the common thread then? Is it the psychiatric medication? Is it the gun? Is it violence? But then when you drill down deeper, we look at the fact that there has also been 16 murders and murder-suicides causing 61 deaths and 32 wounded people, that those perpetrators were also on psychiatric meds. So it's not just a perpetration on our children and the schools. And it's real easy to just take the headlines as the expert analysis. It's guns and we need gun control. It's psychiatric medications and we need better control of psychiatric medications. But is it that? And I thought today we would try to have a discussion on that and try and really give you a sense that and how this really impacts all of us. And joining me today in the St. Gregory Studios is Dr. Charles Wadley, board-certified psychiatrist and board-certified addiction physician. And along with him joining us is Joe Mainz, the director of admissions at St. Gregory Retreat Centers. And we're going to really drill down because it's an interesting day to be doing this show. Tomorrow is the anniversary of Eric Harris and the mass shooting at Columbine, April 20th. And again, even the more deceitful thing when you think about April 20th as we talk about this, and it's Hitler's birthday tomorrow. So we thought that as we talk about this at that time, as we are really thinking as we go to Mass and are thinking about Calvary, that we really want to start thinking about, is this an issue that we can start to take control of in our home? Because it's an issue that we really can as we recognize that, but though the headlines keep it out of our home, our discussion today may bring it a little closer to home for all of us. So, you know, we've talked about the headlines, we've talked about the mass shootings, and we see that how those have been impacted. And Dr. Wadley, thanks for joining us today. And as we look at those mass shootings, how do you respond as a psychiatrist when you see those every day, and you not every day, but as often as we've seen them? And what's your first response typically when you see a headline like that?
Well, my first response is I'm kind of curious about that random thought of the Columbine anniversary and Hitler's birthday. I don't know. Maybe that is coincidental that those came on the same date. Yeah, well, it's a tragic, obviously, event for everybody, for the individuals directly involved, for the victims, you know, for society as a whole. I mean, because these types of things are a reflection on our society. And I think it's multifactorial. I mean, to drill it down to its guns, which is the big theme in some political arenas, or it's the prescriptions, which is can be a theme in, again, a different sector of our society. But there's a lot of other things that, you know, I don't think are always revealed or not fully exposed. I mean, how many of these folks come from, and it's a term you're not supposed to use anymore, but broken families, where there's been divorce, separation, distancing. How many are dealing with other underlying issues of past trauma? Nobody talks about those kinds of things. It's the guns. It's the prescriptions. Another big thing, and we should be talking about this as part of St. Gregory's, is how many of them were substance-related issues. Again, it's multifactorial. I don't think you can blame any one thing, but the reality is you need to be looking at all those things.
And I agree. Those are something that's an interesting perspective. You know, Joe, as you see those headlines, what do you think about? Because you deal with, obviously, families who are going through struggles where primarily it's substance abuse, but we see a lot of patients who not only have a substance abuse issue, but because of their withdrawal symptoms, they're depressed, they're anxious, and they have prescriptions for psychiatric medications as they come into St. Gregory.
Well, I tell you, I think it's, for me, I've always kind of taken a bit more of a holistic viewpoint on this, and especially because just personally it was so close to being something that I would have dealt with, and we can get into that another time. But what I'm really looking at when I see those is, you know, everybody, like Doc had said, points to the guns, points to the prescriptions. But I think the real big thing is what's really driving all of this in the first place? Obviously, there was a reason why somebody's on the prescriptions, and I think something that...
Well, we like to believe that.
Well, you know, I mean, there's obviously some symptoms. There's something that a lot of times, you know, there's some reason why someone prescribed those things. What I really tend to focus on is, well, why aren't they working? And if so many people are on these medications, that's a big red flag.
Absolutely.
We're not seeing a diminishment in symptoms. We're seeing aggression and violence and all kinds of other things popping out. And the scary thing to me is just knowing how many people are on these medications that are designed to affect the way your brain works. They're not working, and that's terrifying.
We need to follow up more on what happens when it doesn't work and what prescribers do.
I think that's a great lead-in to the next section. You're listening to Renewing Hope. If it touches you or if you're of interest or have a call or a question, give us a call at 877-573-7825. After the break, we're going to be talking about just that and what is that effect and how do we come to these issues through the prescribing and the chemical impact of that. You're listening to Mike Vasquez on Renewing Hope. This is Ave Maria Radio. Come back. We've got more to talk about.
Cresta in the Afternoon is brought to you in part by the St. Gregory Retreat Center, a fully licensed and internationally accredited alternative to traditional drug and alcohol treatment. This model has utilized the latest techniques based on the most current scientific research. More information about the St. Gregory Retreat Center is available at 888-778-5833. That's 888-778-5833.
The Ave Maria Radio app is available for all Apple and Android users. Listen to Ave Maria Radio live or listen to your favorite shows whenever you want, on demand. Like what you heard? Post a link on your email, Facebook, or Twitter account in just two taps. You can even leave a voice message on our feedback page. Purchase books or look up references from our hosts and guests, and it's all absolutely free. Just go to the App Store and type Ave. It's just that simple. The Ave Maria Radio app.
You're listening to Renewing Hope on Ave Maria Radio. To call in with a question or comment, dial 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Welcome back. I'm Mike Vasquez, your host today on Ave Maria Radio, and this is Renewing Hope. And we're talking today about the relationship of guns, prescription medications, and just mass violence. And it's something that's in the headlines all the time. But really, to drill down, because we're not sure that the real heart of the issue sometimes gets overshadowed. And as we talk about that, we really want to drill down on what is the science behind this. Because I think if there's anything I've read, is the fact that there's not a lot of science behind this. So if we have an illness, you do blood tests, you do urine testing, and you get body and blood levels, and then you prescribe a medication to help bring that back, your sugar levels, if you're diabetic, other tests like that. The problem is in psychiatric issues, once the patient's presented with a problem that may be psychiatric, there is no testing a physician has to decide, number one, what medication you should be on, and definitely no idea of what dosage you should be on. So there is a lot of is more art than science. And Dr. Wadley, can maybe you address some of that on how, as you in your practice and over the years, how does that directly impact some of the outcomes you've seen with your patients?
Well, there is some science evolving, but it isn't in routine use. I mean, with the discovery of the human genome, they're doing some genetic testing that's out there. There are various scans, too, but they're more research-based and or the cost is prohibitive, and they haven't fine-tuned it. So what it does come down to is primarily a subjective reports of the people coming in. Yeah, there's some things you can objectify if they look downcast and, you know, they don't talk much and they're slow in their movements and they're crying. So there's some objective things, but the bulk of it, particularly in the outpatient arena, are people coming in and saying, I'm having this litany of problems. You know, I can't sleep. I'm worried all the time. I feel depressed, sad, blue, having more irritability, etc. But it's based on their self-report. So there isn't really a test you can do. Even if there is credibility to basing a diagnosis on the limited objective things in front of you and what they report, there's still not a good match of what's the right medication intervention. It is kind of a try and see.
Isn't it also your intervention is kind of based on what you see that day? So they may have been a different person the day before, 2 days before, but as they walk in, it's a mix of how they feel and what you observe that day. And then you don't you just sort of prescribe until you get a sense of it is working or isn't working? And a lot of times it doesn't. I know we had a family once come to St. Gregory who had a person on a psychotropic med, and the family said that they didn't want to take them off of that, though they were addicted to heroin, because it took them 10 years to figure out the right drug and the right prescription to get the result they were looking for.
Well, there is some randomness. I mean, I posed that question about your random thought earlier in our conversation. And this is almost as random on occasion. If you come in, you know, looking like you might have, quote, major depression, we have there's 20 to 30 different antidepressants, and it's kind of whatever is favored by that prescriber, and they start it, and they get feedback from the individual. Sometimes, again, there's things you can observe, but a lot of people get labeled and put on these. Number one, I'm not even sure if they really have the diagnosis, but there aren't a lot of objective signs, and they're basing it primarily on the reports of the patient. And they may have other explanations for that report. Again, not to beat a dead horse, but St. Gregory's Retreat Center dealing with substance abuse, how many of these people are on substances? Don't tell the doctor. Or I've talked with a lot of patients that have come into us. They said, well, you kept going back to the doctor, and they kept giving you this. Did you let them know that you were using your meth or heroin or marijuana every day, you know, pick a drug? They said, oh, yeah, and the doctor told me that, I'm hoping if I give you this, you won't use that other thing. You know, there was a quote when some of this came up about 4 or 5 years ago after the STAR-D study. And one of the individuals said, well, you know, of course there's more use of these antidepressants because historically people with minor stress would rely on smoking and drinking. So now they're relying on antidepressants, and that's why we have a 400% increase, you know, in the past couple of decades. Well, I would contend that they're still smoking and drinking, and now they're on another agent, and had we addressed the smoking and drinking or whatever other substance they were using, maybe they shouldn't have had to go on that third entity, the antidepressant.
Well, and some of our listeners may be wondering how that ties in, but as you look at some of these elements, whether it's alcohol, nicotine, or even the prescriptions, some of the side effects of withdrawal really are anxiety, depression, and just compounded. So that person that's coming in is actually truly presenting clinical symptoms of anxiety or depression, but it's being brought on by that other substance or even lifestyle. What people don't realize is that our body chemistry is really balanced. All of us have a normal state made up of our sleep, activity, and nutrition, so that then we hopefully our goal is that we sleep 8 hours a day, we get 30 minutes a day of activity, and we have a good balanced diet made up of carbs and protein, low starches and sugars. And at that point, your body stays in balance. But once it's out of balance, it screams out to go back into balance. That's God's miracle of the body always wants to be in a healthy, normal state. And those side effects are that anxiety, depression, saying, I need to get back. And you probably see that with patients as they first come in, Joe, as they're dealing with this withdrawal, which is a key issue.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the thing about drugs. Regardless if you got it from your doctor, if you got it from a dealer on the corner, they all work. They do something. They affect the way that we feel. They affect the way that our body works. All of those things are really playing this chemical game inside of your body. And obviously, that's going to really have a big impact.
And they all affect it, but sometimes not in a positive way.
Right. And that's, and I had thought about that in the last segment. I had mentioned, well, what if these drugs aren't working? How come we're still seeing the ramifications? But a scarier question to pose is, what if they are? And we don't know on what. I think one of the most terrifying things that we could ever learn from any of the commercials when we see something like Zoloft or something like that is, as soon as the announcer says, is thought to work by, that to me is terrifying, because that's doing something to my brain, and we're not entirely sure what.
Yeah, and it's an amazing statistic when you think about the most obscure things, but Prozac really has like a 10 times potential or ability to see an outcome of violence, and you think you'd expect that because of it being an antidepressant, but the one that has the highest propensity to violence is Chantix, and the stop smoking medication. So all I'm trying to do is stop smoking, but the warnings about violence are so prevalent because of the fact that as you withdraw, and we're going to talk a lot more about that, what we think the underlying issues to that, but as you withdraw and these side effects happen, which could be suicidal ideations, homicidal ideations, as well as anxiety and depression.
Now, a counter argument that you'll hear out there is that, well, of course there's a higher incidence of violence if you're on Prozac or Chantix, because there's a higher incidence of such events with the underlying pathology that is claiming to be treated. A lot of studies show a correlation with smoking and depression, so people could say that, well, of course you're going to have that correlation. But I think the key thing is, if I have that underlying depression, I'm a smoker, et cetera, am I as likely to engage in violence without those medications on top of that as well? And I continue to beat the drum about what else are they using. We talked about withdrawal, and as you alluded to, withdrawing from prescribed medicines or substance abuse can have some of these anxiety, depression, et cetera. Going on and off the antidepressants, and as we know, compliance, adherence to a prescription medication, whether it's an antidepressant or any class of medications, is about 25% or in that ballpark. One out of four people take it as they should, three out of four don't. So they could be on a roller coaster ride with good intent of taking my antidepressant. Maybe even it worked, but I don't take it for a while. Then I go through withdrawal. And lends to all those symptoms, the agitation, the anxiety, the irritability that could lend to acts of aggression.
That's one of the big issues, I think, that we talk about. You're listening to Ave Maria Radio. This is Renewing Hope. I'm Mike Vasquez. If you have a question, if this is something that has touched your life or you know someone that's touched and you have a question for Dr. Wadley, give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, 877-573-7825. And Dr. Wadley, to kind of piggyback onto what you were saying, I saw a research report that where there were a million patients who were on a prescription, and they drug tested them to verify that they were taking their medication as prescribed. And it was found that only one out of four, 25%, were taking their medication as prescribed, which really meant then that they were automatically, three out of four people in the U.S. on prescription medication are really throwing themselves in and out of withdrawal, because as your body metabolizes, you see a spike and then you see a valley. And so but all of the the studies and the trials, and actually the, I think the pure intention of physicians prescribing these medications is to see that perfect normalized line that you're taking it as prescribed at 8, 12, and 5 o'clock. It's getting the exact effect that you'd hoped and prescribed, but then you throw in human nature, and all of a sudden you've got a person who's up playing video games all night, they're sleeping, they're not getting enough sleep to metabolize their nutrition, they're not active, and now you throw in an exterior agent, a toxin or a prescription medication because of the psychotic effects of that, and now all of a sudden that drug starts to metabolize differently because they're not taking it 12 at 5 12 and 8 when they're supposed to. So all of a sudden now you have this gigantic swing now in moods, and if the side effect of that drug is potential homicidal or suicidal ideations, the extremes we see are the things that we read about in the headlines, the mass shootings, and it doesn't necessarily even have to tie to a gun. You saw one recently in the last few weeks. It was a 16-year-old with a knife in a high school, and he was able to stab 20 people. So the discussions are what drove and drives you to all of that, and I think it's a mix of all of the inexactness of the science of prescribing, the lifestyles of these people, and obviously the prescriber with the best intentions doesn't have control nor probably even enough information to do that. And I know that's something that I think drives a lot to this, and I really want to, you know, we'll drill down and talk a lot about.
Absolutely, especially when you talk about, you know, the imbalances, the lifestyle, you know, what's really out of whack here. And I think today is a really, really good day to focus on what also can be a pretty foundational issue here. You know, when we talk about a chemical imbalance and the lifestyle imbalance, I would certainly propose a spiritual imbalance as well, especially I can't tell you how many times I talk to people and say, yeah, you know, man, life is going really great right now. I just kind of feel like I'm called to be where I am, or life is just all upside down. I don't know how I ended up doing this job, or I don't know how I ended up with the life that I have. And I'm a pretty firm believer that we're called for mission. We're called to be able to serve. We're called to fulfill something greater than what we a lot of times will see just on the surface. And one of the things that really I believe very much is a key proponent to kickstarting some of these symptoms is when we start to stray from what we were called to be and who we were called to be, it's very, very easy, and I think that's absolutely a really good starting point to take a look at what's going to start driving the feelings of depression. What's driving the feelings of anxiety? Where's all this stuff coming from? And you know, when you combine all of these different areas to input an imbalance, I think a spiritual imbalance is absolutely impactful. And especially when you take that and then you start trying to just play with the way your natural chemicals are supposed to work with medications. Nobody knows which way is up after a few years. And Mike had alluded to a patient that came in, took 10 years to find the right prescription. How many medications did they go through in 10 years?
And was it really the right prescription, or was it other things in their life? You know, I think it's key, as you're saying, how is your life? How is your relationship with God? You know, there's no God in psychiatry anymore. Yeah. We got rid of him, you know, what, 50 years ago or more? And I think that's part of the issue. You know, people aren't asking about that. You come in with these symptoms. Oh, that sounds like this cookbook package in DSM of that fits the criteria phenomenologically, what you experience, what little things I observe. You have depression. Here's an antidepressant. We don't ask how your spiritual life, or how's your moral life, or how are you doing with your virtuous pursuits, your calling. You know, are you fulfilling that? That's put by the side. We can't talk about that stuff, so we just keep piling on the medications, and that's why, hypothetically, in that case you mentioned, it took him 10 years to find the right medication. Well, maybe he found God or something else along the way, and it just happened to be coincidentally he was on a certain medication at that time.
And, you know, we're all called, you know, as Catholics, our mission in life really is to become saints. We're all called to become saints, and a lot of people wrestle with that, but it's a pretty simple definition. My goal in life is to become a saint, and the way I become a saint is to make sure that the people I care about get to heaven and to save their soul. So my job every day is to help save their soul and help them get to heaven. And the correlation here is the fact that all of these people showed and indicated unreasonable thinking and unreasonable actions, and I'm driven and challenged to intervene and challenge those unreasonable thoughts and those unreasonable actions if my true mission is to be a saint and help get them to heaven and save their soul. And I think that's something that we all, as a group, as a congregation, and as a parish, carry as a burden, is that we're challenged, I think, to become saints, and by saints, to challenge to make sure that the people around us and that we care about get to heaven. And we do that by not being afraid to intervene on those unreasonable thoughts and thinking.
You know, Joe mentioned this season and the Easter season, and you talked about having that faith and hope and helping others. You know, think of Judas. He gave up on faith. He gave up on hope and ended up taking his own life, you know, in an aggressive act, not realizing his need for belief and trust and helping others and the help of others. He isolated himself as well, which we see in a lot of these killings. They're isolated individuals.
Well, and I think as you see this, we're now, the discussion really does get all the way down from a headline of a mass shooting or a mass murder to the fact that it's the virtues really that bring us back to addressing that. So if it's touched your life in some way, if you need help, give us a call. I'm talking today with Dr. Charles Wadley and Joe Mainz. We're at Ave Maria Radio. This is Renewing Hope. You can reach us at 877-573-7825. We'll be going on break here in a minute, but when we come back, we're going to want to drill down a little more to that individual side and talk to some listeners who are dealing with some of these challenges. And our goal really will be to show you how those headlines don't just run on a piece of paper and don't touch our lives. At some point, those touch somebody's life and those families, and we need to make sure that our families are able to learn from that, guide from that, and make sure that we are touching those lives in a way that helps to get them to heaven as we attempt to be saints in the Catholic Church. So again, give us a call at 877-573-7825. It's Ave Maria Radio, and we're listening to Renewing Hope. Come back. We're going to talk more with Dr. Wadley and Joe Mainz. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Fully alive. Reflections on the scripture readings of today's Mass with Father Pat Egan, chaplain of Ave Maria Radio.
Jesus is dead. It's all over. They've taken him away and buried him and sealed the tomb. He died as the Passover lambs were being killed in the temple, because the Lamb of God is our Passover lamb. He went to death quietly without resistance. It was judicial murder, and his mother was there to watch it happen. Recently, the son of some friends of mine was murdered. They're in deep shock and mourning still, depressed, unable to concentrate, with sudden huge mood swings. It's sad to see them, and it's sad to see Mother Mary at the cross her station keeping, taking the dead body of her only son onto her lap. They put him in the tomb and waited, as we do. And Holy Saturday is rather like that, empty, desolate, waiting for the resurrection, which took the apostles completely by surprise. What a glorious surprise. This is how Edmund Spenser, a 16th century poet, put it. Most glorious Lord of life, that on this day didst make thy triumph over death and sin, and having harrowed hell, didst bring away captivity thence captive us to win. See, he did this to win us and to offer us new life. This joyous day, dear Lord, with joy begin, and grant that we may, for whom thou didst die, being with thy dear blood clean washed from sin, may live forever in felicity. And for thy sake, that all like thee didst by, with love may one another entertain. So let us love as we ought. I'm Father Pat Egan, chaplain to Ave Maria Radio, commenting on the readings read today at Mass. Remember, inspired by the Word of God, you can be more fully alive.
Welcome back to Renewing Hope. Phone lines are open for questions to our guest at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Welcome back. I'm Mike Vasquez, and you're listening to Renewing Hope on Ave Maria Radio. And today we've been talking about violence in America, and really a headline that was in the Huffington Post, is it drugs or is it guns? And really, there's a lot of people in several camps that fall on both sides of that. You've read in the press the big drive for gun control, and then the correlation and the argument to that was really maybe it was psychiatric medications. But I think, and we think, there's a bigger issue there, both a medical and a moral and a spiritual issue that needs to be addressed as we do that. And we've been discussing this afternoon with Dr. Charles Wadley, board-certified addiction physician and board-certified psychiatrist, and Joe Mainz, the director of admissions at St. Gregory Retreat Centers, about those, and as we drill down on how those headlines and those mass shootings really do give us an indication, it's a flag to say, you know, is that something that could impact my life? It's something that does, if you have a family member or if you're on a medication that has a psychiatric effect, and those medications have a dramatic impact in how you feel and their intention, but also in how you react to situations. A good example is that Ivan Lopez at the recent Fort Hood shooting was on a psychiatric medication. The goal was that he was imbalanced, but who knows how he was feeling that day. Had he had a good night's sleep? Had he eaten? And the impact of that, and then the confrontation about trying to get an extended leave to be able to go back to Puerto Rico to visit for his mother's funeral may have been the one trigger that set him off. And so it's a balance, I think, and as Dr. Wadley alluded to in the last section, is the fact it's a balance in where you're at as you go through all these different body metabolisms and then interject this psychiatric medication. And I think it gets back to the research and the study and how it's prescribed. And Dr. Wadley, it's a complex challenge you have, I think, as a psychiatrist to be able to sort of objectively and subjectively figure out what's the right thing to do for these patients.
Well, and again, I come back repeatedly to looking, as Joe said, the holistic aspects of that individual and not just get so focused on the here and now and immediately in front of me and the complaints of depression, anxiety, etc. You need a good full history. I think we've gone somewhat adrift in how we address some of these patients these days. You know, the other reality you got to think of medications is, and they can have value. I don't want to dish medications, but you know they're overused. That's our reality. And part of it is because not looking at the holistic approach, getting a good assessment, and even if they need medications, relying solely or primarily on that as the answer as opposed to addressing everything else. You know, think of the study duration on most of the medications in any arena, but we're talking psychotropics here and antidepressants. You know, it's weeks duration to get FDA approval to show that they have efficacy. What we don't know is on the backside after months to years on these medications, what does that do? That doesn't get studied to get approved. It doesn't happen until they're out there and it's fulminant in their engagement. And then we don't know what all those problems are until it's out on the market. And then to some degree, it's a little too late. These are not silver bullets. Again, they have value. But they should be in counseling. They should be looking at the family dynamics. They should look at the history of potential trauma that happens. They need to look at the substance-related issues, too. How many times, as we've indicated, these people come in, they're depressed, and they don't mention they're using. Or if they do, you know, the doc says, well, I'm going to give this to you anyway because you look depressed. And maybe there's good intentions there. But at some point, they need to reflect when that medicine isn't working and I increase the dose or I add another one or two or three medications, and this happens, maybe I need to back off and say, where are we with that substance use? And that becomes a priority to be addressed. How often do we see in our treatment program people coming on dozens, some literally dozens of psychotropics, and we get them off and get them off their substances of abuse, and they're functional people.
Yeah,
and it's amazing because it does change the person, and it gives them a good sense, or it disconnects them from reality. I think a psychotropic med is no different than some illicit drugs, and it gives you that disconnect from reality. So not only does it create homicidal ideations, suicidal ideations, but it also gives you that disconnect from reality where you don't tie. And a lot of people will blame video games, and we won't get into video games being that disconnect from reality, but a good analogy is the Somali pirates. And if as you look at that, they're higher on than a kite on cat and the drugs that they use there, but they don't do it for a euphoric effect, but it gives them that disconnect from reality so they can do and face the American forces or the maritime security that they may face, and it gives them that lack of fear, and it gives them that sense of infallibility, so that really that disconnect is the reality, and we can blame it on a lot of different things, but I think there's a sense of that.
That disconnect, you just struck a nerve there, for lack of a better term. A lot of these medications, patients will complain, yeah, I'm no longer depressed, but I'm numb. I don't feel much of anything. I don't enjoy, I'm just existing. You know, a lot of times they'll come in, I'm crying all the time, and why are you crying now? Well, no, but I don't even cry over a sad movie that I used to when I was normal. Or if a family friend dies, you know, I don't feel anything. So it is similar in that way, that it causes kind of a numbing, a dullness. I'm not part of a relationship anymore. I wasn't before because I was depressed and isolating, and now I just don't feel anything.
And I think you have to be in that state to be able to commit some of these mass murders, mass violence, because you have to have a total disconnect from reality and a total numbness, as you say, just from that feeling, from that heart. Your virtues, just like in substance abuse, your values and your virtues become buried, we see, as part of substance abuse. That's why as we have you come into drug treatment and you take the drug away, we really focus on rebuilding your understanding of virtues, because you need that guiding compass in your life. Well, a prescription medication does very similar, sometimes the same thing. That disconnect, we call it, it's a term, but really what happens is you're disconnected from your values and your virtues, the things that drove you, as opposed to you're really just trying to, in a substance abuse setting, get to the next fix. And in a prescription, sometimes you're just trying to get to the next life event. Everything becomes a instant issue to debate, to move to, as opposed to long-term planning and goals. Because that's not the intent, but a lot of times that's the...
Well, I need that stimulation now.
You're event-driven. So you become very immature acting, instant gratification, self-centered as opposed to other-centered, and I think that's the impact of not just illicit drugs sometimes, but prescription drugs. Joe, you had something?
Yeah, we see this across all the spectrums of, you know, a lot of people may not be aware, but St. Gregory's, we've really kind of taken a more global approach to really kind of recognizing what's pain, where does it come from, what do we do about it, and I think there's cultural implications, but one of the big ones is something that we see in this community of how do we treat the symptoms of depression and anxiety and mood disorders. I mean, and what you had said, Doctor, I mean, can you imagine that? Is that not incredible? Imagine somebody walking into the ER with all of their limbs clearly broken, and the doctor saying, where does it hurt? And the guy looks up and says, I have no idea. where would you start? But yet, that's okay when we're talking about our whole lives, the way we feel, the way we perceive life, the way we perceive our place in the world. How did that ever get to be okay is just astonishing to me. And that's one of the things that I'm most proud of, and I think is one of the most successful things that we do at the St. Gregory Centers for Substance Abuse, is when we have those folks that are coming in with psychotropic medications, we do taper them down and get to a baseline. We can't treat what you can't feel. And if they don't know what's causing upset in their life, heroin or no heroin, we still can't get to the core issue. So we need to get to that point where they're able to feel some of those things. And it's like anything. Pain in any way, shape, or form is a good thing. It's a red flag.
It's a warning sign.
Yeah, that lets us know, hey, something's wrong here. And how do we find that? How do we treat that? And so often, you see people in the mental health community, the substance abuse community, nobody's willing to do the hard work anymore, it seems like. It's almost the same horrible idea that we see in politics. The worst legislation almost always starts with something must be done immediately. Nobody really thinks through the ramifications. And we see the same thing in a lot of the psychiatric medications. Is something must be done. I don't feel well today. Or I haven't felt well in a while. And sometimes that something must be done requires some really hard work and some introspection and some honest confrontation of where are you going in life and what's going on here.
It becomes a distraction.
Absolutely.
I got this pill that's going to make it better, so I don't have to deal with it.
Absolutely.
Alone. and behold, it doesn't always work that way.
Absolutely. I know when I drive down the road and my car starts making noise, just because I can turn the radio up so I don't hear the noise anymore doesn't mean my car is not going to die soon. It's very, very important to, you know, let's get all of these things that are taking away from these red flags and these warning signs, and how do we really get down to, you know, fixing the gasket?
We're listening to Renewing Hope this afternoon on Ave Maria Radio. But if prescription medications have touched your life, if you have a view on some of the violence and gun control and prescription medications, give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, 877-573-7825. I'm Mike Vasquez, your host this afternoon, and we're talking about the impact of is it drugs or is it guns with violence. And I think, Joe, you touched on a point there, is the fact that you have to think about, and I think clinicians are challenged to this, the cognitive disconnect. And if you think about that, cognitive is a great psychiatric term, but it's really what are our thoughts, and we focus this a lot as you treat a person coming off of drugs, as your thoughts become really your beliefs, and your beliefs become your actions, what you do, and what you do starts to define your character, and your character obviously maps out your destiny. And anytime you start tweaking your thoughts, you actually do start to impact your beliefs and your outcomes. If I get a disconnect from reality and my thoughts, and these psychiatric medications obviously have a cognitive impact, that then I have a disconnect from my belief system, my virtues, that then I get outcomes that I wouldn't traditionally do without that. Do psychiatrists and does the medical community go through that sort of thought process as they try to look at the whole person, as we talked about earlier?
Well, I think that's kind of what you're describing is the core of a cognitive behavioral therapeutic intervention, to try to get you to revisit your thoughts, look at your choices, make more virtuous and favorable choices. Yes, I think that does happen in part. Unfortunately, I think oftentimes they've taken out maybe the virtue and more of what would make you happy. And as you know, we've talked today about this self-satisfaction often becomes selfish satisfaction to the demise of your own long-term direction, because I need to appease myself here and now. And I fail to look at where I've been, what are the values in life, where's God in my life. So the short answer is they do some of that, but I think they remove, for the most part, the spiritual piece out of it. It's about you and what you do and what you feel and how you are. Not always about that caring for others, as you talked about earlier, Mike, and that's our function, to help others get to heaven. It's more about what are you going to do for you today, as opposed to what are you going to do for everybody else long term.
And the impact on them, and you don't think about that, which really gets back to the true definition of immaturity as we look at that. And again, it's something that I think that you seem, and I feel, disconnected from a mass shooting that's somewhere in Columbine, or if it's in Sandy Hook, or if it's at Fort Hood. But then as you look at it in your own family, look at and see, do you have family members, friends, coworkers who are on psychiatric medications and may seem to have a bit of an erratic action or life that, you know, is all of a sudden brought on? And I think we carry that as Catholics as a challenge to challenge those unreasonable thoughts, those unreasonable actions, to make them aware, to try to help to get them back on track and get more in touch with their virtues and their values, so that they can sort of still deal with the medical issues they're trying to deal with, but yet not get off track. There were over 14,000 violent acts reported to the FDA from patients on psychiatric medications. So the violent prevalence of this, 23% of women between 40 and 50 are on antidepressants. That alone is depressing. I mean, when you think about it. So we as husbands have a challenge to make sure that we help our wives deal with that. And I think that's a challenge that we carry as a family unit, that our goal is to make sure that we don't have outside elements impacting the cognitive growth of our children, our family members. And anytime you introduce a toxin or an outside element, you have that opportunity to start to change that balance. And I think, Joe, you probably see that, you know, the focus of that as families have come in on a mix of illicit and prescription medications at St. Gregory.
Absolutely. Well, shoot, I can tell you this. I see it right now with a seven-week-old baby, depending on how much he slept the night before, very much dictates my wife's mood, which dictates whether I'm depressed at work or not.
Well, you're blaming the baby. Yeah. You may be the one.
I could very well be. I know.
And I want to really rub that in. We had our six-month-old grandson spend the night last night. He went to bed at 7 and woke up at 7 this morning.
Well, you were lucky. So,
that's not even fair.
I just wanted to rub it in.
But you're right. I mean, so often when a family calls in to St. Gregory Center, they'll say, I don't even know who this guy is anymore. And that's something that's extraordinarily key to pay attention to, is that inherently means that you once did. And that means that that guy's still in there. We can do something about that.
We're getting ready to go into break. After break, we'll pick up with a caller from Michigan. And you're listening to Ave Maria Radio. This is Renewing Hope. And I'm Mike Vasquez. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Cresta in the Afternoon is brought to you in part by the St. Gregory Retreat Center, a fully licensed and internationally accredited alternative to traditional drug and alcohol treatment. This model has utilized the latest techniques based on the most current scientific research. More information about the St. Gregory Retreat Center is available at 888-778-5833. That's 888-778-5833.
The Ave Maria Radio app is available for all Apple and Android users. Listen to Ave Maria Radio live or listen to your favorite shows whenever you want, on demand. Like what you heard? Post a link on your email, Facebook, or Twitter account in just 2 taps. You can even leave a voice message on our feedback page. Purchase books or look up references from our hosts and guests, and it's all absolutely free. Just go to the App Store and type Ave. It's just that simple. The Ave Maria Radio app.
You're listening to Renewing Hope on Ave Maria Radio. To call in with a question or comment, dial 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Welcome back. I'm Mike Vasquez, and this is Renewing Hope on Ave Maria Radio. Prior to the break, we were just talking about the impact on the family unit and some of the things that prescriptions, like psychiatric medications, can have. And we have a caller from Michigan. Paul has a comment. And, Paul, go ahead. This is Mike on Ave Maria Radio.
Hi. One of you was explaining from a religious perspective what our goal in life is and said, oh, it's to become a saint. You got to become a saint. That may be true, but it's not. I don't think it's very helpful to put it that way. Why? Because it doesn't explain much about saint. I would put it a little differently, and that is to gain or get the virtues, which are good habits, natural and supernatural, good habits that Jesus had. To develop the good habits that Jesus had, the virtues that Jesus had. That's what a saint is, really. So if you put it in those terms, you got a program of what to do. Get some virtues. Develop the virtues that you need. And Jesus is a model for it.
Paul, I think you're right on to break that out into those pieces in the seven virtues, you know, the faith, hope, charity, justice.
Right, and all the moral virtues, too.
Absolutely. That's what gets you to
In other words, it seems to me that's a little more practical handle than simply say, oh, become a saint. Well, so what? What does that mean?
You know, we've had a show about the virtues, too.
Yeah, and I'll take your input, Paul, because I agree with what you just said. I maybe didn't go far enough, and I stopped short, because what I talked about was our challenge as Catholics is to become a saint, and become a saint through helping those around you save their soul and get to heaven. And really what I meant by that was either both living a virtuous life yourself through the virtues, and then sometimes using words and describing to them what those virtues are. And I think I apologize for not going far enough on that. So
it's clearer and more accessible to people if you put it in the terms of trying to get the virtues that Jesus had. I think it's more helpful. Thank you.
That's a great point, Paul. Thanks.
Yep.
Thanks
great insight. Paul. Thanks, Paul.
God
appreciate
bless.
It.
Happy Easter.
And we've got Clarice on the phone from Michigan. Go ahead. Oh, sorry, Dana.
Are you there?
Is it Dana?
Are you talking to me?
Oh, sorry, Dana. I apologize.
Wait, I got the wrong name, Dana. It's actually
Diane, isn't it?
Diane. Oh, my God.
Oh, we're terrible. Today.
So, Diane, I will tell you, you've been a radio victim of me not having my reading glasses on. So
oh, that's okay.
I apologize for that.
No problem. He said Clarissa, so I didn't know I was on.
Yeah.
Two questions. I want you to repeat a number that you gave, and then I have another more specific question regarding my own personal thing going on here. You said women age 40 to 50, you said there is a certain percentage of them that are on antidepressants, and so I wondered if you could repeat that number.
Yeah.
The other question I have, my spouse has suffered ulcerative colitis all of his life, and recently in the last, he's 61 now, recently been diagnosed with Parkinson's. So he has obviously had health issues and been on and off drugs, you know, his whole life with me being married to him. And I'm just wondering, you threw a wrench at me when you said if you don't take your medication precisely as diagnosed, that you're in and out of depression, and I know that he has a lot of issues that he deals with. You were talking about psychiatrist-type things. Does that same in and out of depression, whether or not you're really specific about your drug taking, does that also translate to physical health?
Well, let's answer that first part, Diane.
Okay.
It's about one out of four women between 40 and 50 that take antidepressants. The number's 23%, but that's about one out of four.
Okay.
There was a lot of substance to your second question.
Uh-huh.
So I'm wondering if you can break it down a little bit, but let me see if I can paraphrase it. The bottom line was, can you have the same ups and downs from medications for non-psychiatric reasons? Was that the question?
Yes, basically. I mean, you stated that when people take their drugs as indicated, maybe, I think what you said is one out of four, maybe.
Yeah, you're right. The same number, yeah. It's kind of another coincidence today. One out of four women between 40 and 50 take antidepressants, and as a general rule, any medication, one out of four people is, you know, fairly adherent. Three out of four are hit and miss. May miss a dose here, take it there, stop and start it. So I think, yes, medications, even for physical reasons, can have central activity. What do I mean by central activity? Well, the brain function, be it neurological, psychological, psychiatric. So ups and downs can occur even with medications that are used for physical reasons. You know, these medications aren't always targeted. You take it and it goes right to your ulcerative colitis or it goes right to, you know, those dopamine pathways related for Parkinson's. It affects the whole body and affects the whole brain. So short answer is yes. Variable adherence to any medication can lend to mood instability, changes in how you're functioning with your brain, thought processes, etc.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that gives me a new perspective. I mean, oddly enough, I have, you know, I kind of make a joke about this. I accuse my husband of being, you know, totally non-emotional, this non-feeling thing sometimes.
Yeah. Well,
I
don't know how progressed his Parkinson's is, but they can, you know, people with Parkinson's as it progresses, they kind of lose that sense of, you know, affect and reactivity. That could be part of that illness. And certainly, you know, we'll put some prayer intentions for you and your husband, and hopefully he can help get through all these trials and tribulations. Thank you very much for the call.
Thanks, Diane.
You'll give me a new perspective. I appreciate your kindness. Thank you.
Happy Easter. Again, you're listening to Ave Maria Radio, and this is Renewing Hope. And I'm Mike Vasquez, and we're talking today about the impact, and all the way down from the fact when you see a headline about mass murder, violence, and people argue so much over is it the gun and or is it the tool that was used for that violence, and then they drill down, and finally there's some more thoughtful groups that go into it and think maybe it's the prescription, the psychiatric medications. But as you look at it, a lot of times we don't really look at the physical health of the people and as they take it, that consistency, because then what happens is the medications don't work as intended. And what you get then are all of these, at the extreme end, these violent acts, but yet at the family unit end, you get a family member who may look manic or may be depressed or disconnected. So hopefully we're able to touch your lives. We'll pray for those and your intentions. Again, you can get a podcast of today's show at renewing-hope.com. Join us next Saturday at noon Eastern Time, and we'll be here to talk about other topics to take you from vice to virtue. You're listening to Renewing Hope on Ave Maria Radio. I'm Mike Vasquez, and thanks for letting me
be
your host.
Thank you for joining us for this week's journey towards Renewing Hope. Renewing Hope with Mike Vasquez is produced by Ave Maria Radio in association with the St. Gregory Retreat Center. Find out more at stgregoryctr.com. Tune in next week as we continue to explore how to live the life of meaning and purpose we're all meant to have. Until then, continue to share the hope. Have you ever wondered why God created us male and female? Have you wondered what that has to do with how we're called to live and image God through our bodies and evangelize by our lives? Come and learn how. The Diocese of Lansing is offering a retreat day focused on John Paul II's Theology of the Body, Saturday, April 26th at St. Patrick Parish in Brighton from 8 till 4. Registration for this event is on the Diocese of Lansing's website, www.dioceseoflansing.org.
The new live drama, Faustina, Messenger of Divine Mercy, will be performed at 7 locations in our area, May 5th through May 15th.
At 3 o'clock, implore my mercy.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Faustina, Messenger of Divine Mercy. To learn more, call 734-288-7380 or visit DivineMercyDrama.com. That's 734-288-7380 or DivineMercyDrama.com.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, co-publisher and editor-in-chief of the Chaldean News. It's a news magazine for the Chaldean community, about the Chaldean community, and for anyone who wants to engage the Chaldean community. As Christians from Iraq, Chaldeans are proud supporters of Ave Maria Catholic Radio. We invest many hours into this monthly news magazine to keep you invested in the community. You can subscribe or advertise today. Contact us at www.chaldeannews.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Are you tired of the way your faith is represented in the mainstream media? Stop getting your Catholic news from secular sources and get it from a trusted local Catholic source instead. At the Michigan Catholic Newspaper, we're Catholic, and we cover your Catholic Church in a way that only Catholics could. For the same reason you listen to Ave Maria, get the Michigan Catholic for just $24 a year by calling 313-224-8000 or visit themichigancatholic.com.
The following is a message brought to you by the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan.
The Old Testament tells us the Spirit of the Lord was in Joshua, took possession of Gideon, and rushed upon Samson, that they might lead God's people. In the New Testament, Jesus' apostles were all filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, that they might proclaim the good news. We also receive the Holy Spirit as we exercise our faith through the sacraments. As the Catechism teaches, in baptism we receive the power to live and act under the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Confirmation then increases the gifts of the Holy Spirit in us and gives us a special strength to spread and defend the faith. Let us pray that we may follow these examples from Scripture, being filled with the Spirit in our lives. This message is brought to you by the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan.
Faith, family, and the culture of life. It's Family Man with Catholic therapist Dr. Gregory Popchak.
Is anger always bad? A study in the Personality and Social Psychology Bulletin says, no.
According to the researchers, anger can help a person think more quickly, process information more rapidly, and problem solve more efficiently, but only at low doses. At lower levels, anger, experienced as being miffed or agitated, releases low levels of cortisol into the body, a chemical that makes our senses more acute and helps speed up our brain processes so that we can think more quickly on our feet and solve problems more easily. But at higher doses, for instance when we become furious, the cortisol builds up in our system, triggering a mental shutdown and preventing us from being rational at all. As Aristotle himself noted thousands of years ago, the trick with anger is learning how to be angry at the right time, in the right way, with the right person. Christians don't need to fear becoming angry, but we need to master the impulse so that we can use our anger appropriately. This can be a difficult thing to learn to do, but with practice, and when necessary, with help from a good counselor, anger can be mastered. I'm Dr. Gregory Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
You've been listening to Family Man with Catholic therapist Dr. Gregory Popchak. To discover more resources for living an abundant life, including books, CDs, and Catholic counseling services, visit us online at exceptionalmarriages.com.
On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
Good day, I'm Al Cresta. Join me and my guests as we try to develop conversations of consequence. It's talk radio where God matters, looking at all life through the lens of the Scripture and the teaching of Christ Church.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays from 4 to 6 on 990.